So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 22, entitled Krishna Steals the Gopis' Garments, Texts 24 and 25. I'll just read 24, since there's no purport to it. Sarva Shastra Dipirusha, Sarva Vedaika Satrala, Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadya, Sarva Lokaika Drikpada, Sarva Bhagavata Prana, Srimad Bhagavata Prabhu, Kalidvanto Vidaditya, Sri Krishna Parivatita. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O nectar churned from the ocean of all the Vedic scriptures, O most prominent transcendental fruit of all the Vedas, O you who are enriched with the jewels of all spiritual philosophical conclusions, O you who grant spiritual vision to all the people of the world, O life breath of the Vaishnava devotees, O Lord, you are the sun that has arisen to dispel the darkness of Kali Yuga. You are actually Lord Krishna, who has returned among us. Paramananda Pataya Premavashaksharayate Sarvada Sarvasevyaya Sri Krishnaya Namostume. O Srimad Bhagavatam, I offer my respectful obeisances to you. By reading you one attains transcendental bliss, for your syllables rain pure love of God upon the reader. You are always to be served by everyone, for you are an incarnation of Lord Krishna. Madhika Bandhu Matsangin Madguru Man Mahadana Mannishtaraka Madhbhagya Madananda Namostute. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O my only friend, O my companion, O my teacher, O my great wealth, O my deliverer, O my good fortune, O my bliss, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Asadu sadu tadayin atina cho chataraka anamun chakada chinmam prena hit kantayospura. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O giver of saintliness to the unsaintly, O uplifter of the very fallen, please don't ever leave me. Please become manifest in my heart and my throat, accompanied by pure love for Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Tasam vigaya bhagavan svapada sparshat kamyaya drita vritanam sankalpam ahadamodaro balaha. Translation by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Lord understood the determination of the gopis in executing their strict vow. The Lord also knew that the girls desired to touch his lotus feet, and thus Lord Damodar, Krishna, spoke to them as follows. So text 25. So please repeat after me. Sankalpo vidita sadvyo.
Sankalpo vidita sadvyo.
Bhavatinam madachanam.
Bhavatinam madachanam.
Mayanu modita so-so.
Mayanu modita so-so.
Satyo bhavita mahati.
Satyo bhavita mahati.
Sankalpo vidita sadvyo.
Sankalpo vidita sadvyo.
Bhavatinam madachanam.
Bhavatinam madachanam.
Mayanu modita so-so.
Mayanu modita so-so.
Satyo bhavitam ahati.
Satyo bhavitam ahati.
Sankalpo vidita sadvo.
Sankalpo vidita sadvo.
Bhavatinam madachanam.
Bhavatinam madachanam.
Madhyanu modita so-so.
Madhyanu modita so-so.
Satyo bhavita mahati.
Satyo bhavita mahati.
Translation and purport by the the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Translation. Lord Krishna said, O saintly girls, I understand that your real motive in this austerity has been to worship me. That intent of yours is approved of by me, and indeed it must come to pass. So please repeat after me. Lord Krishna said,
Lord Krishna said,
O saintly girls,
O saintly girls,
I understand that your real motive
in this austerity
has been to worship me.
That intent of yours
is approved of by me.
And indeed it must come to pass.
Purport. Just as Krishna is free of all impure desire, so are the gopis. Their attempt to gain Krishna as their husband was therefore motivated not by a desire for personal sense gratification, but by their overwhelming desire to serve Krishna and to please Him. Because of their intense love, the gopis did not see Krishna as God, but rather as the most wonderful boy in all creation. And being beautiful young girls, they desired only to please Him by loving service. Lord Krishna understood the pure desire of the gopis and was thus satisfied. The Lord could certainly not be satisfied by ordinary lust, but He was moved by the intense loving devotion of the cowherd girls of Vrindavan. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksho Unmitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadatispa Pradantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadrutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Cha Shri Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Durubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Sankalpo Viditasa Bhavatinam Madarchanam Lord Krishna said, O saintly girls, I understand that your real motive in this austerity has been to worship me. That intent of yours is approved of by me, and indeed it must come to pass. So it's a very special atmosphere in this temple. It's fairly small. There's a wonderful congregation of. It makes a difference, actually. Really, I didn't want to stop actually the Jayavada Madhava because I was feeling such great power coming from all of you. Seriously, it really feels like that. So, in a bigger temple, you don't get that so much. So, it's wonderful to be here. So in the purport, it says that just as Krishna is free of all impure desire, so are the gopis. So Krishna is just like the sun, that he can dry up any, the sun, there may be a
a pool of impure substance like urine or whatever, but the sun just evaporates it and purifies that place. And it's not affected. So that's the point. The sun is, although it can purify, it never becomes contaminated or polluted. So in the same way, Lord Krishna, he's completely pure. And the gopis are also completely pure. Jai Shri Sri Radhavanishwara, Shri Shri Jagannath Bhagavata Maharani, Shri Shri Gauritani, Shri Shri Govardhan. So by hearing about Krishna and about his activities and hearing about his devotees, like the gopis, who are all pure, they have no impure desire, then we become purified. So, because of course Krishna is Paramatma in the heart, he is described Srinvatam Svakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, Prijanta Stogya Vajrani, Vidunati Surit Satam. That Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, is the Paramatma, the super soul within the heart. And he's the benefactor of the of his devotees. And he cleanses desire for all, cleanses the heart of all material desire. For those devotees who have developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves, virtuous, when properly heard and chanted. So, this is the point here, that the saintly girls, the gopis, they're worshipping Lord Krishna, so they must be perfectly pure. And so we're singing every morning to Tulsi Maharani, that we can actually become the followers of the gopis. And in that way that we can become just the dasis, the servants of those gopis. Because they're very intimate associates of Lord Krishna. And it's not that we may become exactly like them, but if we just follow in their footsteps, then we'll become completely happy and pure. And if we're not pure, we can't be happy. So purity is essential. Without purity of motive, because here it's talking also about motive, your real motive, Krishna himself says, your real motive. Yeah, sankalpa is in the word-for-word translation. It's translated as the motivation. So, our motivation is what's important, not what we can do. We may not be great in any way. We may not have great intellect or great prowess. We may not be wonderful musicians. Some of you are, of course. But we may not be. If we do have some ability, then that ability is only coming through Guru and Gauranga and Lord Krishna. And actually, if we're always thinking in that way, then we will become empowered to appear great to others. Although even Krishna, of course, won't give that empowerment unless he thinks we can handle it. Unless he wants to humble us. Just like sometimes, you know, we may forget. If we're singing for the Lord or something, we may forget a line of the... When we've done it thousands of times before, practically, and then it just disappears. So Krishna wants to humble us. That's happened to me. I don't know if it's happened to you. But if we're really sincerely desiring just to serve Krishna, then he will empower us. And we actually should become empowered. And actually that is a sign of humility, that we feel that actually of my own self I am nothing, I'm insignificant, but by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, I can do anything. And if we're always giving credit to them, then we can actually do everything. Nothing's impossible. Nothing's impossible. And therefore we should take great heart and encouragement that the impossible becomes possible. Actually, this temple is an impossibility practically. I mean, it always amazes me that, you know, a building like this, I mean, it may seem small to you who are in it every day, because obviously you could always do something, more space and things. But when you think that a spiritual organization owns a building which, I don't know what the last valuation was, it was several million pounds, 5-6 million or so, I don't know, maybe not, who knows. Maybe Janet Tanzberg, who knows. But anyway, the figure's not important. The point is that it's a miracle, really. How did it happen? It's Krishna's mercy, it's Srila Prabhupada, because Srila Prabhupada had such faith. And he transferred that faith, he passed that faith on to his disciples and his grand disciples, and therefore anything becomes possible. It's even possible that Sri Sri Radhalanishwara could get an even bigger and better temple. Although I'd hope that this building will remain in the hands of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, because it's a historic building. And is so wonderfully situated. So anything is possible, and we should feel that we can achieve the impossible. But our motivation must be as the gopis. They were not worshipping Katyayani for the sake of their own sense gratification, not to become, not to get the greatest hope that they possibly could. Of course, everybody would like to get the most... well, actually, I was thinking that husband is really like... We all require shelter. So the husband represents shelter, protection. Obviously, in a material sense, a woman should have shelter and protection. But really, the only one who can really give that shelter and protection is Lord Krishna. Only he is the infallible one. He's, as he says himself in the 15th chapter, yeah, I think the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that there are two types of being, the fallible and the infallible. Everybody knows what fallible, some of you don't have English as your first language. Do you know what fallible means? Anybody not know what fallible means? No? Everybody knows what fallible means. Well, you're very intelligent, though. Fallible. It means you're subject, prone to make mistakes. Like that. Actually, Krishna doesn't say he's infallible. He says he's beyond both the fallible and the infallible, doesn't he? So, I was fallible there. But, yeah, Krishna's beyond the fallible and infallible. Those who are infallible are those who are actually following Krishna and his instructions. Like Srila Prabhupada. But Krishna is the all-knowing, all-powerful. And he, and always present. Otherwise, how could he be the super soul, the paramatma within the heart? And cleansing that desire for material sense gratification. So, he can give shelter. He's the real husband, actually, of everybody. We're all really Prakriti. He is Purusha. He is the real enjoyer. And we are to be enjoyed by Krishna. As the gopis are showing us. That they're showing actually really how to serve Krishna. And so we should... Krishna is the goal of our life. And if we make... If our lives become totally free from all material desire, which we earnestly pray for that they should, because actually the material desire is what's causing our suffering, our attachments to whatever it may be, gross and subtle, is the cause of our suffering. But the gopis are totally free from that sense gratification. Their motive is just to obtain Krishna as their husband. And another point that's brought out is because of their intense love. In fact, this is mentioned, the word intent is mentioned twice in the purport. Although Krishna himself doesn't say that. But the purport is saying, because of their intense love, the gopis did not see Krishna as God, but rather as the most wonderful boy in all creation. So this is what we also have to cultivate, an intense love for Krishna. An intense desire to achieve Krishna, to achieve Krishna's love. And when we have that intensity, then Krishna will reciprocate. If we're just half-hearted, then obviously he's going to respond, because he does say, how does that verse go? Yeyatam, sorry? So, according to how we approach Krishna, he will reciprocate. Of course, he's always willing to reciprocate. He wants to reciprocate fully, just like, you know, he wanted to reciprocate. In fact, actually, his stealing the garments from the gopis was purely his reciprocation with the gopis and their desire to obtain him. So it's not that Krishna is, he's never cruel, he's never unkind, he's never just withdrawing himself. He's not, he doesn't go into a sulk because we've offended him or anything like that. No, he's always completely free from any envy or, how does that word go, inebriety. So we can think that actually the reason why we appear not to be receiving the reciprocation from Krishna, in other words, we may think that if we're suffering in some way, we don't seem to be getting Krishna's mercy, things seem to be very difficult for us. If that's the case, then obviously it's because our intensity of desire to serve Krishna, to love Krishna, requires cranking up a little bit. Just like in the Brahmacharya ashram in Bhaktivedanta Manor, they have a mangle. Not mangalati, it's a mangle. You know, everybody know what a mangle is? You don't know what a mangle is. They used to be very common before washing machines and spin dryers and things like that. But basically, it must be 80 years old. It's a very old device, a mangle. And the word, you know, to get mangled, you've heard of that? Comes from this. So it's like two rollers, and you have a handle which you have to crank like that. And then you put your clothes through it, through the two rollers, and all the water comes out. And it's actually very good in many ways. One is you don't have to squeeze twist your cloth, so that because that damages the cloth, and it doesn't last so long. So, and also it gets much more water out. Another advantage is you get very strong. So people in the previous, ladies used to use mangles when they were just mainly housewives, which is a very important service, to be a dedicated housewife. They used to use things like this mangle. They were doing this just like you see in India. Ladies are beating against the rocks, aren't they? So they've got a lot of strength. So, you know, with this mangle, you get, the only trouble is it's very one-sided. It's just the right-hand side. You have to turn it around to, if you want to. But at first, when I found I was using this mangle, and I found it was so difficult. It was so hard. Oh, God, I'm trying to get it through. But after a while, it becomes easy. So it's very intense at first, trying to to crank the handle of the mangle. So it is an auspicious device, this. So we have to crank up our desire, our intensity, to want to serve Krishna. And to do that, we have to associate with those who've got a strong desire to serve Krishna. And we can find many examples of that. We have to follow the instructions. We have to serve those devotees who are completely free from all vice. And then we have to hear about Krishna, which is the most important. Hearing and chanting. So our chanting also must be completely, must be intense. It's like Srila Prabhupada explains that we should cry out, just like a child cries. We all must have heard children who are lost in the supermarket, and they cry out. And they don't care, they have no inhibitions. How loud they shriek, what they sound like, whether it sounds nice to anybody else, they don't care. So the same way, we should have that uninhibited greed, that great intense desire for Krishna to appear before, well, within our heart actually. There's some very nice meditations, I don't know if any of you have know of them, by Satchinanda Swami. Well, they're affirmations actually, he calls them japa affirmations. Anybody? No, they're really not. I can send them to you if you want on the internet, if you give me your email address. But they're really nice. And they help to develop that desire. The first one starts off, I haven't learned them off by heart, so I'll just kind of paraphrase, but the first one starts off, and it's good if you say them before you go to take rest at night. It starts off, I enthusiastically rise early in the morning, eager to chant Krishna's holy names. Enthusiastically rise. Now, affirmations actually, they really work. Because the mind doesn't have a mind of its own, funnily enough. It can be convinced. You know, you can find techniques to convince it. Because it's either accepts or rejects, doesn't it? So you just have to get it to accept, that's all. Like one devotee, I was saying, you know, I'm really appreciating these japa affirmations by Satchinanda Swami. He said to me, no, but I feel I'm being dishonest because I don't feel that enthusiastic. He said, but that's the point. We don't feel enthusiastic, but that's why our mind can be the best friend or the worst enemy. You have to just control the mind, you have to fix the mind, you have to persuade the mind in whatever means you can. So these affirmations are very good. So just by, and you have to obviously invest in it some intensity. And you'll find if you repeat these things, like, I enthusiastically rise, eager to chant, early in the morning, eager to chant Krishna's holy name, you'll find you become enthusiastic. Really? That's my experience. I mean, even first thing in the morning when the alarm first goes off, it even works at that point. Which is the lowest point, for me anyway, it's the lowest point of the whole day. Oh no, I have to wake up. Another nice one, there's about, I think there's 13 or 14 of them, so I won't go through them all, but another one is that I am happy to make japa my most important activity. And this is really, I find this a really powerful affirmation. Because, you know, we're thinking so many things, and in order to control the mind, especially during the japa period, or our chanting period, the tendency is to think, oh, this important thing, that important thing, you know, and I don't want to forget it and that. But no, actually, I'm happy to make japa my most important activity. chanting the holy name is the most important thing, because actually it is our personal connection with Krishna. And by making that connection, Krishna appears in our hearts. Another of the affirmations that is coming to me a little bit now is, I'm grateful that Krishna, the holy name of Krishna, appears in my heart and dances on my tongue. So if we have that gratitude, I'm grateful that Krishna's holy name appears in my heart, because actually we don't chant the holy name. If we're really chanting, the holy name appears actually in our hearts and dances on my tongue. So in this way we can think, actually it's not me. I'm not chanting, I'm listening. I am just a receptacle, I'm just the instrument on through which Krishna can appear in the form of his holy name. And of course, we all know Nama Chintamani Krishnas, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, Kuna Shudo Nityamukto, Abhinatvam Namino. There is no difference between Krishna and his holy name. So, when Krishna appears in your heart, when Krishna dances on your tongue, that is Krishna. He's actually appearing there. But if we think we're doing it, is it Krishna really there? No, Krishna, he actually appears. How does he appear? By the mercy of Guru and Gauranga. Only by their mercy that he deigns to. Because we are not qualified, actually. So, but by their mercy, because we've been given their mercy, Krishna, to please Guru and the Vaishnavas, Krishna will appear in our hearts and dance on our tongues. Otherwise, why would he do that? Because our hearts, at least my heart, is not pure like the gopis. But just because the great devotee, Sakshadharina, the spiritual master, is the representative of Krishna, and Krishna always wants to please. He wants to, just like, you know, he wanted to fulfill always wants to fulfill the benedictions of his devotees like Lord Brahma, even though they're giving benedictions to demons. So, being a demon, you know, only by the benediction of the spiritual master is Krishna actually willing to fulfill that benediction, because the spiritual master is very dear to him, as that verse also says, Kintu Prabhu, that he's very dear to the Lord. So then actually the name, the form, the qualities, the pastimes of Krishna will actually appear before us. Actually, there's some other very nice meditations on the holy names, also given by Satchinandan Swami, but in his book Nama Rahasya. I don't know if any of you may have that book, but the meanings given by Gopal Guru Goswami. So in that, he's actually explaining how, the meanings actually are begging Krishna to please, or Radha and Krishna both, to please reveal your name, form, qualities and pastimes to me. And even to show the names, forms, qualities and pastimes. So therefore, ultimately, we will actually see within our hearts Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's form in our hearts. Of course, the Gopal Guru Goswami, they do say, oh, please make me qualified for that. But ultimately then, Srimati Radharani accepts us as one of her own. Like all these gopis, I presume, I don't know, but was Srimati Radharani one of these gopis? Anybody know?
She was there.
Was she? Yeah? Okay, so then she'll accept us as one of her own. and take pleasure in us. And then Lord Hari, we can beg him to please enjoy his pastimes with us as well. So I'll finish there. Any questions or comments?
In the beginning you said how virtually we have to be in poverty. And I was reading this book in the morning, Reaching the Desert, just a number of words I'm sure. And it speaks how the order of Lord Chaitanya is actually going preaching to become a guru. And at the same time, it came to my mind that in Shukshashtakam, he says that we are not supposed to, or I do not desire any number of followers. So for me, it sounded a little bit as a contribution, which I'm sure you would resolve.
Yeah, the question is that in the Shikshastra, you can correct me if I have it, correct. But, I was saying earlier that we should desire to be empowered by the Lord. But at the same time, in the Shikshastakam, it says that we should not... being empowered, he was saying, to preach and to become guru. But in the Shikshastakam, it says that we shouldn't desire followers. Yeah. Is that it? In essence, anything else?
Important part that it's Lord Chaitanya who said that we should become guru as himself has said.
All right, the important part is that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that we should become guru, but at the same time he said we shouldn't desire followers. Yeah, well, it's down to the motivation, isn't it, that was in this verse. That we should act as guru to whoever requires that service. We should feel ourselves a servant, just like when I had my first service to His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. I was driving him from Bhaktivedanta Manor to Heathrow Airport. And I'd only heard one or two classes here, actually, I'd heard them. And I said to him, Maharaj, I feel that you're my spiritual master. And he immediately replied, I feel that I am your servant. And I was very embarrassed. But that's the mood, actually, that we have to try to cultivate. That we're just acting as a servant of the conditioned living entities. So therefore, in order to do that, we need to have the mercy. We have to have the mercy in order to give some mercy. So therefore, getting mercy means being empowered. But also, we must feel that it's not my doing, actually. Krishna's just sending people to me that I can serve like that. Just like Srila Prabhupada was a wonderful example also. He said that his spiritual master, he said, he sent all you nice boys and girls. And actually, you're doing everything. It's not me. I'm not doing it. But you are. So that's the mood. So it's down to our motivation. If our motivation is pure, it's just we're trying to be the humble servant of the servant of Guru and Gauranga. Is that satisfactory? Yes, Prabhupada, just diffuse it.
Share something on this point?
Yeah, of course.
I was listening to a short lecture by Swami Sri Ramaswamy, actually. He was speaking about this real humility, that Lord Chaitanya's order is that everyone should become guru. And that means that guru means you have to sit on a big seat. And that if you sit on a low seat, saying that you're humble, so that's defining the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he spoke about achar and pachar. He said that if your behavior is proper, then automatically people will do it. Or just like in the first verse of the instruction, of Goswami says that we should, this is how we become the guru, Vajrayana Manasakarya. So first, not even guru, you have to become humble servant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, thank you very much. Actually, just to finish, since it is half past, I'll just read one quote from Journey Home on humility by Ramdas Maharaj. It says, "At one time I had thought that humility was an act of self-effacement, a weakness that revealed a lack of self-confidence or self-care, even a negative obsession that could lead to a sense of inferiority or depression. But I was discovering that true humility was the opposite of that, for it connects us to an inexhaustible power beyond our own, the power of grace. The true humility is a universal pride in the greatness of God and a genuine appreciation for the virtues of others. Real humility did not mean I ought to be cowardly and shrink from challenges, but propelled me to strive with all my resources to overcome challenges with integrity, respect, love and gratitude, to be as much as possible an instrument of the divine." So anyway, you can find that on page 281 of Journey Home, if you want. So that for me is a great inspiration to match those things, being humble but at the same time trying to actually do something that will please Guru and Krishna. Rantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Tanmaya.
His
Grace
Gaur Krishna Prabhu ki
jai. I'm sorry, I was going to say something about Madhvacharya, because this is disappearance day today, but I'll have to leave that up to you to meditate on Madhvacharya.